With our fifth season pretty much in the books and the off season upon us, we decided it might be time to replay some of our favorite episodes, including some or all of the Patreon-only content from the original release. If you're enjoying these replays, please let us know, and we'll keep them going. This week, we go back to season two, which includes Matt's first appearance on the podcast, as Rob interviewed four former presidents and myself about their time starting and running Mitch's Misfits. We broke this one up into two parts, and we hope you enjoy.
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 11 of the second season of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. I'm Tim Brown, your host, and I'm joined this week by Dustin Lindstrom.
Hey, everyone.
And Rob Gilreath.
Hey, everybody.
This week's going to be a very different, with no games to recap and no games to preview. Most likely, by the time this comes out, it'll probably be official that the Ferris State series is not going to happen, at least not when it's scheduled. So instead, we've decided to invite a handful of former leaders with Mitch's Misfits and focus on them this week. As some of you might know, I am the godfather of the group, but I was never actually president. So we've decided to round up. Did I do my math right? We got four former presidents here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To join us, we've got president number two, Bethlyn McCallum, who's now Bethlyn Cumming.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Dustin, Rob, everybody.
President number five, Gina Salvi.
Hi.
President number eight, Alex Dinsmore.
Hey, everyone.
And president number 10 and current Tech Hockey Guide editor, Matt Cavender.
What it do?
I like the flair.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on such short notice, since this was all kind of decided this morning, even though it was Matt's idea. Was that middle of last week?
It was something like that, yeah. I knew we were going to have a filler week like this, and I'm happy we're able to get it together. Yeah.
We'll be mainly discussing the history of Mitch's Misfits, but we'll probably still talk about Huskies current events. I don't think we got much out of the Joe show, but maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe some WCHA action and maybe a little bit about World Juniors. It kind of depends on how long the Misfits part of this goes. Before we take a break, I wanted to touch on one thing. We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from our patrons. You can become one at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. We'll be doing a monthly Zoom chat. I really need to bug Brad Patterson because I haven't heard back from him in a while, and I really need to get that scheduled so we can actually do that here in January before it gets too long or too late. He's currently the head coach of the Youngstown Phantoms and was a player at Michigan Tech when I was a student before the whole Mitch's Misfits thing happened. If you sign up at the white level or above, which is $2 a month, you can attend those monthly Zoom chats. Since the podcast started, we've done extended versions of the podcast for our patrons at the black level or above, which is $5 a month. This level also includes an authentic MTU jersey patch after you've given $10. We actually added our 25th patron this week, so thank you to Dave Hertler. Hope I got that right. On being the latest patron to join at the black level, our most popular level, thanks to the extended versions where you can hear the greatest hits such as us discussing the best smart switches for your home. I don't know what else we've had on random tangents that we've left in there.
There have been some good ones. Definitely some good ones.
But if you sign up, you can go listen to those extended versions all the way back to the beginning, to the unpublished episode zero. So let's do the thank you notes plus a brief note from our sponsor, because we need those pennies from each listen. And we'll come back and let Rob take the lead as we discuss Mitch's Misfits, the best student group in college hockey.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at FibkeDental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is FibkeDental.com.
We fund everything at Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, in-stat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
Let's talk a little bit about behind the scenes. What's something that folks that aren't members of the Misfits may not necessarily know about this? And this isn't directed to each of you specifically, but let's just kind of roundtable this one. What's some stuff that folks might not know about the Misfits that you might want to let them know about? Because this isn't listened to just by necessarily students, but it's, you know, alumni and community members too. And I will call on one of you if nobody says anything.
I will start, and I think everybody, and especially Matt, can back me up on this. The amount of stress that the president goes through in planning trips, in organizing people and every little detail. And it is just the worst. And it is always so worth it.
So worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would piggyback off of that and say that there's definitely a lot more to it than what is visually available at every game. Like, there's so much planning, so much whoring yourself for money, so much trying to talk to anybody you can to get everyone out, trying to gather student interest to go to games, trying to gather student interest for trips. There's just setting everything up for games. You know, it's just, it's like taking on a job. That's why I actually had to quit my one student job that I ever had at Tech, because I just couldn't handle both at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's definitely, I'll say, much more than just like the president and stuff. Just interfacing. I mean, at this point, you know, interfacing with student government, athletics, and everyone. It's definitely like a team. So, you know, just doing a lot of the not fun stuff, you know, having to create a budget every year and figure out, okay, we need to make this much from t-shirts and then this much from other stuff in order to pay for these many new cowbells and stuff. You know, there's a lot of administrative stuff, but, you know, going to the games is like the easy part. It's the fun part, and it's the part I think all of us love the most.
Did anybody here use that, like, big time in your job interviews? Just laying it on thick. Here is what I did. I did budgeting. I did planning. I did this and this and this and this. And you could talk for like the whole time.
I did. I used that one, but I also used running broomball as the other big one. But I was also never technically president. But even though I was never technically president, I still met with like the SID and the hockey coach like 20 times that year trying to figure everything out when we weren't official yet.
So to piggyback, does anybody have more on that one, or I'll piggyback a little bit on that another question, but go ahead.
Definitely agree with Bethlen there. If I am in an interview with a hockey fan, I am off to the
races. Oh, yeah. And for sure. I had an interview at a paint company for like a chemical position, and they're like, oh, you went to Michigan Tech. Did you watch hockey? And I was like, Let's go. Let me tell you something, because she was a...
I relate to you on a personal level now.
She was a Bowling Green grad, so she was also a huge hockey fan. So we talked for like 10 minutes about college hockey, and she's like, wait, so how did you, like, so what did you do? Like, it was a lot of fun to talk to another girl, especially about college hockey, you know, in a professional setting.
It's also fun when interviews just kind of turn into a vibe check instead of just like being serious the whole time.
That's when you know it's a good interview, to be honest.
Yeah. Is that person that interviewed you single, Gina?
I don't work there, so I have no connection to her.
So let's piggyback on that, right? What is something that alumni or the community can do to actually help the Misfits out, even like currently, or what you guys would have seen as something really helpful from their side, besides the whoring out for money piece?
Stand up, old people. Get on your feet. Yeah. Listen, damn it. Listen, get up.
Would it be that good of an event if it didn't happen on only a semi-regular basis? If it happened all the time, would stand-up old people actually have the same weight?
I don't know.
But yeah, what can the community or what can alumni do to help the Misfits out?
Rob, is this where I plug the jersey sale?
Yeah. Well, so yeah, we can drop that in real quick on the money side, right? The jersey sale, a lot of the proceeds do actually go toward helping the Misfits out. And we've talked about that on previous podcasts.
Yeah, I think we've given the Misfits about $1,000 a year every year that we do the jersey sale.
Yep.
At least I try to get about that much.
Damn, that would have been nice back in the day.
I know, right?
Yeah, it was incredible because I got to be there like as university was starting to realize that, oh, hey, these guys are incredible for one, student involvement and student life experience, and two, when guys see that there are crazy fans behind them and they're going to like what, you know, across the country, they're ending up in Alaska, uh-huh. They're going to Vegas, they're going to all the Minnesota series. Like, that's a reputation that carries. So they've started to put a lot of, like, force behind that. And that's something I kind of wish Evan was here to talk about, because now the university cares so much that pretty much for every big series, they're going to get a bus out.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, so there is... So on the money side, for go back to the actual question, like, the cool thing about donating money to the Misfits, even though, you know, like, you know, money for
sometimes small, you know, it's like boy, it's like paying for a taxi from Houghton to Marquette, and it's just a bus size because you don't want to drive.
That's the thing, is that your investment is super visual. It's going to go straight towards cowbells. It's going to put a kid in the seat somewhere across the nation. And that's like, money is just easy. But the other thing is, I think it'd be really cool to see like more involvement. Like, I can't expect an old person to be as energetic and involved as a student, but to like, when you see those, you know, high intensity moments, like, don't be afraid to get up and, you know, it's kind of like channel your inner student, get in there, you know?
Yeah.
You're not looking for the guy in Madison holding up the numbers to lead things, but just participate.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
why did you have to bring up Phil?
Phil. Is this where Dustin brings up prune juice?
Oh, I hate that old guy.
For those of you who don't know, that's the guy down in Madison that counts each goal and points to everybody. And he is the only guy in the call center allowed to hold a piece of cardboard because everybody else can't.
I thought we were talking about a different bitter. Phil for the record. Not that
no,
Phil.
No, prison Phil.
No. There are some good Phils within the tech hockey community that we all know.
But not that one. I mean, JK.
Next question, another more open one, not to everybody, but membership counts. How do you guys drive membership? Now, obviously, Matt and Alex have it a little bit easier because come watch a winning hockey team. But I'm really kind of curious what some of Befflin and Gina's approaches were to try to get people to watch a team that, doesn't win hockey games.
Well, Gina and I are women, so it wasn't too bad, right, Gina? No, K-Day was a huge recruiting tool, so yeah. I always got to make a fun K-Day booth.
I should go see if I still have those photos from when we did, like, the water balloon thing.
If you don't, I do.
Okay.
So K-Day is the big driver. I don't, from a student perspective, I don't know the answer to this. I went to the very first Misfits meetings. I think, if I remember right, my memory may be off here. For some reason, I didn't like Tim in general, so I actually left the meeting after getting my free pizza. And I went back to standing where, like, I was grumpy. I don't know what it was about, but there was something about the meeting that I was like, oh, that guy's an idiot, and I just left.
And I, your opinions changed? And, really?
Well, you know. But yeah, it was a meeting where there was pizza involved. That was my first Misfits recruiting thing. And I've been going to hockey games since I'm in the same case as Matt here, right? With GLI and diapers, I grew up going to the McGinnis every weekend. My parents have had student tickets since they were students, season tickets since they were students. So I've been there for a really long time. And going to the games, I didn't need a group to get me there. I was going anyways, and the Misfits were down near the glass, and I didn't like that, because I still don't like that, to be honest. I think sitting by the glass is a terrible place to watch a hockey game. So I stood up top at the entrance to either L or M and stood Scott at the rail. Spot. Yeah, that was my standing spot as a student. So, yeah, I didn't have that drive, that recruiting experience. It wasn't there for me, so, you know, I didn't have to worry about it. But what are you guys? Well, besides K-Day, what's the big drivers for getting people up there?
Oh yeah, you really nailed it with the pizza, Rob. Actually,
pizza, free pizza.
Seriously, table tents. Hey, we got a meeting. Free pizza. So that would get some bodies there and drum up some interest. Get the coach and some players to come and talk at the meetings to let students know that the coach and the players care that they're there. So that
I'm guessing
always
Mel Pearson
too.
Never did that.
He did, actually.
One time?
Begrudgingly.
It was never he didn't stay very long, but there were times that he would come, and there were always players that would come to the first
game. I think I got Mel my senior year, and he brought like four or five of the guys with him to my meeting. So that was really cool.
Good.
Yeah, we all know I'm number one on the Mel Pearson, you know, hate fan club. But
no, Bethlen was hating him before it was cool.
You know, but
I'm the president of that club.
You know, credit where credit's due. He would come to the meetings. There was always this weird like barrier kind of about him. Like the writing was always kind of on the
general,
wall.
Not your meeting.
I know.
Can we see a show of hands here? Who has been blocked on Twitter by Mel Pearson?
I don't know.
Marv Parson.
I love Marv.
Only three. Okay.
I don't have a Twitter.
Dustin, you're not blocked by...
I don't think I've ever tagged him.
Mel?
I've tweeted a lot about him, but I don't think I've ever tagged him.
That's your problem. Do it once. Say, like, have a good day, and you're gone, buddy.
Yeah. All right. We'll jump into our second trivia question of the four I've got. This one will be what was the total goals? Well, how many goals did Tech score in the biggest win they had during your time? And a bonus point for the game winning goal scorer. Or we can make it easier and just say who it was over. But I think that makes it too easy because three of them are the same answer. So we're not going to do that. How many goals did Tech score in their biggest win while you were president? And we'll start with Tim.
So it's, you're saying 0304?
No one wants to answer. 0304, what was the biggest win?
Seven.
Seven. 7-3, right?
What?
Six.
No, it's not.
No?
It's not.
They scored more than seven?
No, it's not. 9-4 over UAA.
Oh, yeah, that was in Alaska.
And who scored the goal, Tim?
The winner
for the who was the game winning
Easy.
The game winning goal?
Murphy.
No, nope, you got two.
Taggart Desmond.
Taggart.
All right, I'm just gonna go on the
run BMC line. That makes sense.
I'm gonna go down the list just because it's easier, right? So Tim, you got shut out on that one. All right, Bethlen, how about for you? Do you know the score, who it was against all that fun?
I'm going to say...
We're just looking for the number of goals Tech scored for
it. I'm going to say 9-0 versus UAA.
Who was the game-winning goal scorer?
I don't even remember what year that was. It's not fair, you guys. I got like three of them. 3 years.
You're right, though. That's correct. It's a 9-0 shutout against UAA.
All I know is that a bunch of us wore togas to that game. Does that count?
Nope. Guess a player.
There were like... 10 togas, a player.
Tyler Skorczynski.
Can you?
I don't. I actually didn't write the year down on yours because I did a bad job. Everybody else has a year. No.
Are we even guessing players on the team that year?
I couldn't tell you at that point. What do you got, Bethlen?
I don't know. Can I say that on the
spot? Robbie Nolan.
Oh.
No, it's Peter Rulo, and he actually had a hat trick in the game.
Yeah, that's right.
Dustin, do you have those three pucks for my game?
They're right here, and mine are the Duluth Rulo hat trick.
Okay. So many
hat tricks. All right, Gina, what's yours? And yours is one that's actually against an impressive opponent.
I'm trying to remember, like, if the game I'm thinking of actually happened, like, while I was in charge, or if it was before. Was it?
Well, what number of goals do you think? What's the Tech score? What number of goals Tech scored?
Six?
No, you're off by one. It's seven.
And how many were empty net goal or extra attacker goals?
I believe there's several, and I think this is the game. I'm not 100% sure, but I think this is the ice cream incident game.
No, that was before my time.
No?
That was before.
Okay.
That was before.
That's a little bit too early. Okay.
That was my
This is Angry Gwaz game, correct?
Yeah. That was the game when Gwaz pulled their goalie with like 8 minutes left.
Yep, and just let us score repeatedly. Yeah, 7-2 over Denver. 7-2 over Denver.
Oh, I love him doing a crazy Frank.
Who scored the game-winning goal, do you think?
Olsen?
No, Ryan Fern.
Good guess, Gene.
So, I was either going to guess Bakes or Olsen, but...
So, yeah, you got zero on that one. How about you, Alex? What do you got? Number of goals scored by Tech and game-winning goal scorer?
I'd probably say something like 8-1 over Huntsville.
Nope. It is a 10-0 win over UAH.
Okay. I got the seed right.
Do you know who scored the first goal?
Right, yeah. I think that was the same year they went like 9-1 against Wisconsin or something. That was
that is my profile picture on Facebook, still holding my fingers up to count because the fist thing is stupid and you guys are all wrong.
That was a bad night for me.
So who scored the game-winning goal on that one, do you think, Alex?
Oh, gosh. We'll say Blake Pietola.
Same family, not quite. Tanner Carey on that one. I think they're related. They're cousins, aren't they?
I think so. They're all cousins.
And all right, Matt, what do you got? You probably know yours. Can you list it off?
Yep. It was 8-0 over Lake State to sweep the quarterfinal, I believe.
I think it's later in the year, but I have too many tabs open, so I will not confirm or deny that part of the stat.
It
was in middle of March, so it most likely it would have been playoffs. So yeah, you got one for the goals. Who do you think?
It was against Lake State, and just I've got no idea. More often than not, when I was with the Misfits, I was not paying attention to the ice. I was trying to get everyone
it's
going.
Fair. Totally
so usually, goal would happen. I'd knock my head around and be like, "Sick, we scored." So, just for the sake of thinking about who was on that team, I think I'm going to go with Joel the Hope Lesperance.
No, that was a Reed Sturros goal.
Who was it?
Reed Sturros.
Reed Sturros.
I love when the game-winning goal is the first one. That's always fun. I didn't have to count it all on those ones because
I remember having a debate with Jamie Russell about only saving the game-winning goal puck, and I'm like, yeah, but you don't know which one it is till the game's over. Like,
sure.
Valid.
I was like, that's fine if you want the rest of them back, but we don't know which one's the game winner until it's over.
All right, I'm going to toss another roundtable question out there, then we'll go back to trivia and then do one more question after that. And I think that'll probably get us a decent amount of time, I would think, right, Tim?
Well, we're already at 64. Yeah.
So that should work for enough stuff, right? So first one.
Right, plenty.
First question will be this one from Discord, actually. The guys are asking about flags, and that kind of dovetails into traditions. Are there any traditions you can take credit for that either still exist to this day or that you really enjoyed trying to start while you were president?
All right, I have three if no one else is ready to go.
I'm ready, whatever.
That's fine. Go ahead,
start up in the corner there.
Yes.
All right, Tim is getting shirtless, so I love this. But anyway, so My first one was I tried to start a we got the puck chant, which went well for a few years.
That I enjoyed that very much.
See, it's very love or hate. I saw Rob get juiced. I saw Gina get
that. I think that was fantastic.
Those are the two reactions to that chant.
I remember Nesbitt hated that one, and I was like, I kind of like it because it's different and it's a good thing to do when like the game's boring.
It gets atmosphere going.
Sorry, Gina,
sure.
I like that one too.
I always join in for like the first little bit, and then I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. But then like we do it like two games later, and I'm like, yeah, we got the puck. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. Like, I need it in, like, short bursts.
All right. The second one that I like, it's kind of a tribute to Tim, but I also stole it from Northeastern, is getting shirtless for overtime.
Your shirtless overtime is
never participated
entertaining.
Yeah. I'll get shirtless for overtime at home now, too. But the last one that is totally just me was I would also take my shoes off and put them on my hands for shootout, and people started joining in on that. I don't know if that's still going. So I'd be shirtless with my shoes on my hands for shootouts, and that was kind of a thing for a little while. I hope that's still going, but I'm not sure. That's up to Evan and their crew at this point.
Can I ask who started the thing with the power play and doing that thing and then the thrusting?
That was a band thing. We can't take
the roller coaster.
I wasn't around. That was amazing. I don't know what it is, but I'm always entranced when I go there.
They always play Joker and the Thief for power plays now, and they always do like a pelvic thrust during like all the beat drops in the beginning.
That's so good.
That is always humorous to see on the opposite side of the stadium that aren't the students, the younger kids doing that one is always a bit of humor involved there because some of them really get into it.
Oh, yeah.
Any other ones that have lasted from you, Gina or Bethlyn, you can think of?
I mean, I proudly carried on the body painting tradition for Bethlyn. I made sure that kept going because I think, like, I had never seen it in hockey before, so I thought that was that was unique. So I always, it's always entertaining, especially when you can go to an opponent's rink and like body paint at an opponent's rink and really throws everybody off.
I got a few to talk about. Matt, how you brought one in from another school. I also may have borrowed one from CC. We do the cowbell things and then chant and then lots of cowbell. So I brought one in from, I imported one from CC. I can do it on my mic. Go Tech. Like that one, we had never done that. And I'm like, oh, when I was at CC, the trip Tim was talking about earlier, like, that's so easy. Let's bring that back. There's another one, if anybody here is familiar with what I try to do every year in December, our Sivmis carols.
Oh, those work. Those don't work.
How those?
I love Sivmis carols. They don't work, but they're so cute.
Every person can easily do it. It is the easiest thing. Any regular Christmas carol, which everybody knows, just replace every single syllable with Civ while Civing. And you can get everybody involved, student or not. It is amazing. And it works great at the Joe. It works
I love how I didn't even know like half of these things ever happened.
Yeah, you don't ever go to the GLI.
I will say, like, so the couple times we tried Sivmis carols, like the last weekend before break or whatever, it, like, while I was there, just famously backfired so bad. And it might have been like the choice of opponent at the time. So at the time, I think the Gophers were one. I think North Dakota was one. Like, might have been a coincidence, but we'd start singing Civ and we'd get scored on in like 10 seconds.
That is just the nature of the Huskies, but it's awesome and everybody can participate. And then a couple others super quick here. If you go to a St. Cloud game, it's just the same cheer every time. The Let's Go Huskies one. So I thought, we need to do something different. So I did the Let's Go Huskies. So just kind of changing it up a little bit. So it's something different rather than the same rhythm every time. And then another one of Gina's absolute favorites. No sarcasm there or anything. Gina, do you know what I'm going to say?
The pee-pee?
Yes, absolutely. So way back when UMD came to visit, they did their post...
Power play sucks.
And then Tech started doing that just to make fun of them. And then they kept doing that. And that annoyed the hell out of me. So I'm like, need to do something different. Sure, we can take things from CC, but no, we can't take it from UMD. So I started the You Suck on the PP chant after.
I didn't know that was you.
That was me. So every time you said something bad, I was standing right there. You were personally offending me, Gina.
But I love you anyways.
Do you got any, Alex, you could think of?
Gina, was it you who created the... I'm trying to think of it. Let's Go Husky Dogs. And then everyone says mush right at the end.
Oh, no. Cut band. That was
man, I almost dropped a bad word there. I hate that one so much.
That's so good. I cannot stand
that one.
I would love to take
I thought of another
one. There was one that the president before me tried to get going. It was right after the World Cup. It was the I Believe chant. If you remember Cam Morgan, I think we tried that for about a year and a half, and it kind of worked, but I think it just completely died as soon as people forgot about soccer. And then I think one specific to us is we had Matt Roy on our team, who now plays for the LA Kings. And then, you know, we know he hated it, but every single time the kid touched the puck, we would just yell out "Wah" because Patrick Wah the whole time. And we did a fair bit of the Misfits just screaming it at the top of our lungs anytime he touched the puck. We knew for a fact that he hated it, but wasn't enough to stop us. But
I thought of another one.
Go ahead.
So I think Bethlyn or Tim, one of you guys might have started it, but I'm taking credit for like bringing it back. Is the Tyler Shalast?
Is that Dustin? Actually,
or was it Dustin? Was that you?
He lasts all night long.
Yeah,
Dustin, was that you? Shalast.
No, that wasn't me. I didn't come up with anything.
I know when I
except suck it up.
I did that one. Yeah. Actually, yeah, that was like... definitely me. But the Shalast one happened when I was there, but it wasn't. I didn't think of it. It wasn't me.
My buddy Michael's the one that brought it back. He's going to want credit for bringing it back when he came back as a strength and conditioning coach.
So I ran into him down, I think it was at Bowling Green, and I was like, so this is what we did when I was a freshman when Tyler played there. And I was like, this is what you do. So then he brought it back up. So I'm taking partial credit.
Okay.
For filling him in on that.
Are you in the market for insurance? Have your rates for home, auto, boat, or more been increasing way beyond inflation? If so, maybe it's time you spoke with Aaron Pietola and the team at Arcadia Insurance Group, serving Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and more. Who better to serve you than a former Michigan Tech player? For more information, call 866-511-1069 or go to arcadiaagency.com.
Do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIA tech.net.
Hey, Matt, Alex reminded me of something with the Wah one. Who started beef with our,
Beef was just, that was just organic, okay, because just his nickname was Beef to begin with, and then just everyone just started yelling it. I don't know if there was anyone in particular that started it, but like, it was cool, because I talked to Beef like when he signed, and he was like, Matt, I've got to tell you, what was really cool is I grew up in BC, like I was a huge Canucks fan growing up. The only thing I ever wanted my whole life was for a whole crowd to yell Beef the same way that the Canucks would yell Lou, and you gave that to me while I was there. That was a really cool thing you got to tell me, you know?
Nice. We had, back in my day, we had Bunger!
Well, I got two tradition questions that maybe you guys know where they did start or when they kind of came around, because I don't remember them growing up as a kid in the McGinnis, right? The flags at the beginnings of the game and waving the individual player's home flag. Where does that come from? Because that's one of my favorite pieces of tradition. Hello. That's there. I have donated flagpoles and flags to that cause because I think it is so awesome.
I love this because what we have together, Rob, is that like I interned for a soccer team and I ate that atmosphere right up. I love it. They always had like a ton of flags, like some of them aren't even relevant. I don't even care. It's like seeing the wave.
Yeah,
they're great. So like the first thing I did when I got back, and I was like, dude, like province and state flags are dirt cheap on Amazon. Just go buy them for like $2-3.
Yeah, the flagpole is usually like 20 times the cost of the actual flag.
That's so much better than driving to a random town near Madison, Wisconsin to buy a Finnish flag.
One of our road trips up to Alaska, I think it might have been, second one or... Yeah, the last second one I went up to, when we sat in the Sullivan up top, and literally there was no one behind us, so we just waved flags the entire time.
We stopped in a flagpole store to buy flagpoles.
With a woman that had a super thick Russian accent, and I bought 3 flagpoles there for the trip because she's like, you want the big tall one? I'm like, no, I just want an extendable one. And she's trying to sell me like a 50-foot one for out front of my house. And I'm like, no, I want a tailgating flagpole. I have to bring it into the arena. That is one of...
You have to bring it back on the plane. Yeah.
I mailed them back, I think, actually.
I think you mailed them to like the Misfits box in the mob or something.
Yep, those are ones that the Misfits have to this day. And I will try to bring a flag with me anywhere we go. I've got one that my mom gave me a few years back that's a tech tricolor with the stupid piano dog in the middle. But,
what was cool about that is like during my term, my whole board was like super into flags too. And they were all about the idea. So they just started getting them. And
it's fantastic. This
guy's from this place. We're getting a guy in from here. Let's buy that flag. And one thing that I really like noticing to this day is I forget who we have from Texas, but there is a Texas flag in the Misfits and it is marginally bigger than the rest of them.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite things. It's one of the things I miss watching like right now because we don't see the beginnings of the games. There's no fans, right? Yeah, not seeing that. Yeah.
And we got to get a Tennessee flag now.
Yep. Yeah, going to get a Swedish flag.
Yeah,
I'm going to drop the Misfits PayPal on the liner notes this week. We need a lot of money for that.
You don't even necessarily need to donate. We can figure out what flags need to be purchased and send to the
Amazon
Misfits.
Wish list.
Yeah, we should create an Amazon wish list.
We can maintain a list on the THG site of flags needed and flags currently that we've got.
Just like, you know, create a wedding registry or something.
So yeah, that's one of my favorite traditions that I've seen start over my tech fandom. The other one that I really, really enjoy, and I don't know who can take credit for it, is at the beginnings of games, chanting until the first puck stop. No matter how long that is, how long it takes, if it's 20 seconds or 5 minutes, the Misfits will chant for the entirety until that stops. So who could take credit for that?
I want to.
We're getting fingers going in different directions because I'm guessing
I want to.
Gina is in a different spot. Bethlen's in a different spot from what I'm seeing.
Oh,
you
I
pointed
was
at Alex,
Bethlen. No, yeah. I would like to credit my VP of 3 years for that, Andrew Colbus. He wouldn't stop. He just doesn't stop.
That's fantastic because the home team, especially on away trips, this is why it's my favorite on away trips. At the McGinnis is going to be loud. But at home, the home team will start out chanting something. The home fans will start chanting something. Their student section
three or five and done.
Right. They'll do their standard cheer and then they'll stop. And then it's just Misfits fans shouting.
Until they start
cheering on the radio
again.
Almost to a T. Yeah. It's fantastic. And
It's a great tradition. The home fans have no idea how to counter that. Yep. Like when I was on that Bemidji playoff trip and the students just had no idea what to do with us.
Yep.
So they relocated their student section to be in front of us to try to drown us out because they just didn't know what to do with us, not knowing how to shut up.
My favorite is when you get a group of like preteen girls that decide they're the ones that are going to stop you and you have no power to outdo that age group screaming.
Well, that one trip to Duluth when we were like by that like mites team that just would not stop yelling at us. Remember that?
Right. Yeah, those type of things.
We were at the upper deck at the new rink.
Oh, is that?
And there's like those two like 8-year-old teams of like boys and they're like screaming at us and it's like, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't like make fun of them. They're like 8-year-old kids.
I think after that, like, so they ended up playing in one of the intermission periods and then
and we cheered for them?
Yeah, we cheered for them, and then they cheered with us, I think, a little after that. Because they're like, oh, that was the coolest thing ever.
Didn't we win, like, 6-1 that night or something crazy? Was that the Sunshine weekend?
I don't remember. I think it was 4-1.
I'm not sure.
I think it was, like, 4-0.
I just remember being, like we played out of our minds that weekend and kicked their butt.
All right, I'm going to sneak in a real quick question that just got asked on Discord while we've been recording. We asked part of it already. What's your favorite place you've traveled? So we'll leave that one out. But what is your dream place to see tech play that they haven't been at yet? And we'll just go quick on this, and we'll start with you, Tim.
Well, I wouldn't call this a dream, but now that I've been to this town 4 times, I would love to come down here and actually watch tech play Uno sometime because I'd like to be in this town.
Yeah, for Tim, those that don't know, Tim's in a hotel room in Omaha.
Yeah, this is the fourth podcast you'll listen to with me sitting in Omaha because we did 2 podcasts here on my last trip.
Tim is so serious about this, he got a recording studio in Omaha to go to for the last 3 weeks.
Right, that's what I did. I was down here for the Oma pod and I wasn't able to go. But like honestly, I would love to come down here and be here with like, you know, 20 or 30 Misfits and have some fun in this town and not just sit in my hotel and order DoorDash all the time. But that's kind of one that's on the top of my list because it's so close. Or like probably the closest trip that I have never actually made for hockey. And I don't know what else. I'd love to go back to Colorado sometime because I've friends I can go visit and see them play. But where have I never seen them play? I don't even know. I need to go out somewhere east sometime. We need to play Eastern teams.
You got one. Omaha is good.
Yep.
Don't take all of them. Everybody else
is
going
to answer
here too,
Tim. Shut up, Tim. Yeah. There's more people that need to go.
All right, I'm going to go in grid order from what I can see on my screen. So, Bethlen, you're next, so you don't have to whine about getting everything out of the way.
All right, I got a quick answer. This is no place in particular. The Frozen Four Ice semifinals and championship, and I do not care where it is. That is the sheet of ice I want to see.
Location doesn't matter.
I don't give a shit
about
location.
Just want Location doesn't matter. You just want it to be the game. That makes perfect sense, and I appreciate that, answer. Yeah. Actually,
I approve this message. Yeah.
All right, Matt, your next one up in my grid.
There's two I'd love to see. The first is Matthews Arena in Boston, because like our fandom has created this kind of like weird kinship with Northeastern, and I'd love to see it like come to
weird kinship.
There.
We're
plus,
both
like,
Huskies. How is that weird? Well, it naturally fits.
And the other thing is, like, you guys have seen, like, the ridiculous fun we can get into in, like, Bemidji and Mankato and, like, all of these, like, little towns. Imagine the fun that's going to be at those kids' disposal in Boston.
Do you want to let a bunch of kids that are normally in Houghton out to go on one of the largest cities in the country?
Absolutely. I think it'd be amazing. And the second one I'd love to see is I'd love to see them come down to Grand Rapids for a regional. So I can have like 30 Misfits stay at my house and finally pay it back to an organization that's done so much for me.
All right, Gina, you're up next.
I want to go to Ivy League. I think, is it the Whale? Is it at Yale?
You stole one of my first answers I was going to say.
So when,
I want to see the Whale in person.
When we went out for the games out in Connecticut, Brad and I had extra time, and so we were like, polka-dotting our way through different hockey arenas, and that one was...
You guys drove from Boston, didn't you? You flew into Boston and drove down, or from Providence?
Providence down.
Yeah, we went the wrong way, so we didn't have anyone on our trip.
Yeah, so we stopped at Brown, we stopped at Quinnipiac, we stopped at Yale, and yeah, and it was like, so the doors were locked to Yale, so we could just like see in the outside doors, but it just looked like a good place to watch hockey.
All right, Dustin, since you haven't said anything in a while, we'll let you in on this question, too.
Well, my answer is pretty much the same as Matt's. I want to go to Boston. Matthews would be awesome, but I also think it would be sweet to play BU. But I'm okay with either one's
right,
in,
Alex?
Either one in Boston. Because I'm not counting,
Somewhere in Boston?
BC, because
sure,
that's
sure.
Chestnut Hill.
You don't want to see
Harvard either?
No, that's not Boston. That's Cambridge.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going with the truth. That's the real attitude.
We don't have to appeal
to
East Coast fans, Dustin. None of them listen.
I'll specifically tag like some East Coast teams just to say Dustin made fun of them because they're not really in Boston, and we'll see how that goes.
Sure.
Well, to piggyback off of what Tim and Matt said, I'd love to see them play Long Island. I think this is like their first year in Division I.
It is. Yep.
And so if you imagine the fun that the Misfits could have in Boston, imagine that fun in New York City. And that's right.
See, the thing is, I have a life goal of never going to New York, and that would ruin it.
But also, you do
right
it?
In my backyard, so I can't complain too much. But I think, like,
you know, hosting, Alex?
Ooh.
You don't want to go to Long Island? Oh, I said it totally wrong.
Long Island?
Well, you got the Long Island.
Long Island? And I still can't do it.
I think besides that, I know Tech played here in the past, but I've never been to NODAC. And I think for me, that's definitely a bucket list to see Tech play there and just to
Play at the Ralph. Yeah. I've never made it to Ralph for a game myself either.
It seems like an unreal atmosphere.
My two, because I like this question a lot myself, my two is I want to go to Maine because that arena looks awesome. And Bethlen and David went there a few years ago.
It's pretty nice.
And it looked like a ton of fun. And Gina took the Whale. The Whale is a fantastic arena. I think it's Yale's. The Yale has the Whale, or is it Brown? It's one of those two. It's a
Whale. Yale.
It's
Yale.
Beautiful
Yale Whale.
And the other one that I would say, just from a pure hockey history perspective, I would love to go to Hobie Baker Arena too. And see us play Princeton.
I was supposed to go watch a game there when I was in town for work, and I got food poisoning after trying like 15 different Philly cheesesteaks in like 5 days.
Nice. Ooh. Nice.
Yeah, I don't know which one gave me food poisoning. That's the problem.
Well, I've got two more questions around the trivia stuff, and that we'll be done there. The first one is, who was the top point getter in an individual season while you were president? And we'll do 1 point for knowing who they are, and then 1 point for plus or minus five on their point total. Chris, you actually, let's see. We'll start with Matt.
Oh, this is a tough one. I think I'm going to roll, it's between Les Brown and Lucchini.
Which one do you pick? I'm not giving anything away here. You do have got to pick one.
Do I have the right coin flip?
You have to pick one of the two.
I'm going to pick Les Brown.
You are wrong.
Damn.
I'll let you guess on that point total though. What's do you think the point total is, plus or minus five?
105.
No, over just one season.
Oh, just one season. Okay,
yep, that's not career. One season.
That'd be an insane season.
Yeah, that would be decent.
That would be decent.
Ask Mike Zuke about that.
Yeah.
Total points or total goals?
Total points.
Are you Googling this, Matt? Come on.
No, I am not. I am just thinking.
You're giving everybody else a chance to Google it.
If I was Googling it, I wouldn't have gotten the question wrong.
It's a farce.
You are in the lead so far. You could be throwing just to throw a suspicion off.
Yeah, this is definitely throwing suspicion. I'm just going to throw 30 for the sake of throwing a number out there.
39. So there's your first goose egg of the trivia rounds. All right, we'll go up the list.
That was close. I even had the coin flip, right?
You did. Alex, who do you got?
Is it Tanner Caro?
Yep, that is correct. And what's your points guess?
I'm going to say 42.
You are within the range. He had 46. Okay. So 2 points. 2 points for Alex.
Hell yeah.
He is the only one in this list to actually average over 1 point per game over that season.
Wow.
Which is, I don't know if anybody's done that since the 70s, if I were to look. Gina.
Oh, God. I think it's Brett Olson.
It is. He's got a fun stat line in that they add you guess it first and I'll say why I think it's fun.
I know that I remember this because it was like in games that he played, they won, but as long as he scored a goal, they won or they didn't win unless he scored a goal or something. It was a weird, some weird stat. Anyways, like 22.
No, he had 30.
Really?
Yep, holy. And the reason the stat line is fun is because it's 10-20-30. He had 10 goals, 20 assists for 30 points. I think that's kind of nifty, which I didn't want to say anymore because I'd kind of give it away.
I guess so.
All right, Bethlen, what do you got?
So I have 3 years to choose from, and I have to pick.
You have 3 years to choose from, and it is the top point getter. So of those 3 years, this is the guy that had the most points in those 3 years in one season. So it's not cumulative.
It was awesome being the president for 3 years, but it is really coming back to bite me today. This has been really challenging for 3 years. I can't even think of names.
I think you have an obvious choice within your 3 years.
Really? Like, but not including the person that Tim is going to pick?
You were president.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Wasn't there a player on that tech team that had no business being on that tech team that should probably be an
obvious
choice?
I'm probably forgetting about one, yes. But I don't know. I'm just going to throw out Pete Rulo.
It was the answer to your UAA question, and it's the same answer for this question, too. Pete, it is Pete.
And if we hadn't done that UAA question, I would not have even gotten it.
What do you think the total number of goals were?
Totally throwing a guess out there. This is just for his best season, basically.
His best season. How many points did he have in his best season?
27.
You are within the plus minus five. So he had 30, and his stat line was 7-23. So Pete liked to dish the puck.
Is Pete Rulo like Finlandia's Gretzky?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. He is from. I think he's from
Hancock. He played at Finlandia before he came to Tech.
He did.
Yep.
All right, Tim. Do you know who yours is?
Yes.
Well, it's between two players.
No.
Yep.
This
it is
one.
But the answer is Chris Connor.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's the guy I was thinking of that had no business being on those tech
teams. Yeah, that's Tim's.
Just so good.
And what do you got for a point total?
40.
It's 39. Oh, so yeah, you're with him as well.
I thought Merz got more points
that year.
Those three questions were all the same for everybody. The next set here is going to be individualized to your time period as El Presidente.
Aren't they all individualized?
No, they've all been the same question, but different answers. So these are all different questions. So I'm going to start with, I'll start with Gina.
Can you start with Matt so he doesn't have time to Google it?
Sure.
That's right. It's a different question. All right,
Matt. In your 2 years, Tech played a team that they played for the first time in team history. Who was it?
Arizona State.
No, it was Union.
Ooh, good one.
They have only played Union once. It's the only time they've ever played them. And that's okay, the icebreaker. And you talked about it earlier, so I was like, shit, I'm not rewriting another one.
That was in Arizona, though, right?
What threw me there? No, it was not. That was an icebreaker. What threw me for that one was that my sophomore year, which was when I was the VP, was the first time they played Arizona State. So
they've played Arizona State multiple times, though. Union is only one game in program history. Yep.
I didn't know it was. I thought you said first time in program, but either way, I got it wrong. But what threw me is that in my sure. school tenure, they played both teams for the first time.
Excuses.
Yep. Yeah, first and only time. Yep. I may not have said that, but I'm sticking with it.
I've got to throw the doubters off.
All right, we'll go up to Gina now. You had the real, real bad season.
Yeah, we did.
How many calendar months did Tech go without a win during the 2010-11 season?
I'm so happy that I don't have to answer that one. Ever.
There were 6 months of Tech hockey total.
Yeah.
What number of those months did not contain a win for the Huskies?
So consecutive? I mean, not that I'm going to get it right either way, but...
Well, you got a 1-in-6 chance.
But
and we know it's not a small number.
You said consecutive months without a win?
No. How many months total did they not go with for a win? Just out of the season total.
Oh. I see you, Tim. I don't know if I trust you, though.
I don't know the answer, but that's my guess.
Well, if there was only 4 wins and...
Yeah, were those wins in the same month? Were they not? Who knows?
I think 2 of them might have been in the same month. I'm going to say there was 3 of those months didn't have a single win.
There were 4. Tim is actually correct. There were 4 months which Tech did not have a win.
I was going to say 0 points for you,
Tim. And there, I think, is 3 months consecutive they didn't have a win.
Yeah, that was a rough go. It was.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
It was.
Yeah, try recruiting to that, you youngins.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Tim, your original question was who?
That's the thing is I deal with so many like guys that like want to burn the team down after 1 win.
Yeah. You're any of us that have been around a while, the rest of us that have been around a while
in the Discord chat, and it's just like, dude, do you remember the time we won 4 games? Like, come on.
Yeah, we're all just back off the ledge, fellas. It's a fine. We have double digits of wins. It's already a winning season.
There are so many youngins that have no idea what it means to suffer. I
remember talking to some of the guys the senior season. I was like, okay, so what are we thinking? Like, how many wins do you think we're gonna get this year? Like, and one of the guys was like, you know, I'll be really, really happy if we get 10 wins. I think that would be amazing. And I was like, 10? You think you're gonna get 10? After last year? Like, okay. Okay.
That sounds like the conversation Dustin and I had with Jordan Foote about how many points he was going to get.
All right, so we'll go to Tim for the next question. I had to rewrite yours because you said it earlier. I was going to ask what Eastern team we played, and it was the only Eastern team we played that year. But instead, we'll go with what team did we play the last 4 games of the year against year 03-04? And who did we lose 4 games in a row to?
North Dakota.
Yeah, it is North Dakota. Mm-hmm. All right. I haven't asked Bethlehem's question, and I haven't asked Alex's question. Let's go with Alex's question here. How many losses, yours is the opposite of Gina's. How many losses did the Huskies have in the first 3 months of your year?
Because
you were the 10-0
start.
10-0 start.
How many weekends does that work?
5.
You were real close. It's 4.
Oh.
All right, Bethlehem, last one is for you. What team did we sweep your first year for the only sweep and the only time that we put together a winning streak while year?
Well, so this would have been my first year as president?
Your first year, who's the only team we
swept? We had a winning
streak?
That
2 games was the winning streak. It was 2 games put together,
would
and that was it.
Would this have been Wisconsin?
It would not have been. It was a 4-2 and a 3-1 win over Duluth.
Oh, yeah. The trip I was talking about earlier that I took everybody to.
It may actually have been. Yeah. That was the only winning streak we went on your first year as president.
Wow. Thanks for reminding me.
How unfortunate for you.
I know.
To have a 2-game win streak.
I am glad that Tim got his right, because otherwise we'd have a giant tie at 3. Because Matt got 3, Gina got 2. Oh, that's not a giant tie at 3. I'm sorry. I can't add up. Bethlyn got 3. And Alex has 3. And Tim is the only one with 4.
Wow. Go,
so Tim, who has to reach back as far as possible in his memories for the questions about his time, remembers them the best.
For 1 year.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's...
Bias.
He didn't tell me any of the questions ahead of time.
I did not, no.
Just patiently waiting to get into the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's all I've got. So I don't know, Tim, how you, if you want to do a normal wrap up here or what you want to do to end, but.
And is there anything else anybody wants to say about Mischief?
Yeah, sure. Fair enough.
I say we didn't even talk about our favorite actual trip, not just like Misfits excluded.
Yeah, sure. We did not talk about general fan trips. We talk about this was a Misfits one, not an alumni one. Maybe we'll have an alumni one later.
Okay, fine.
Well, you're there now. If we can actually, you know, go to games soon again.
Come on, Rob.
Maybe next year. When you're older.
I want to talk about Vegas.
Yep, Vegas. Heck yeah. Vegas was fun. CC is a lot of fun. Alaska was fun.
I really enjoyed going to Arizona and running into John Scott.
He saved a man's life.
I was at the bar ordering a drink with him when he did that.
And I remember being at the game and my bootleg Alex Patan jersey and Patan's girlfriend walking up to me and being like, hey, if you want to get that jersey autographed, I know Alex. And I'm like, I do too. And then I remember many years later swiping on her on Tinder.
Was it a match?
No. Not at all. And that's okay. It was still funny as hell that she was on there.
Yeah, if you want to show some kind of rap on it, Tim, I think that's all I had. So
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
Well, that should do it for this replay episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please let us know what you think of running replays during the offseason. You can support Tech Hockey Guide by becoming a patron. Check out all our tiers at patreon.com/techhockeyguide, including student discounted tiers. With an annual membership, students can get almost 60% off a monthly membership. Patrons at the white level or above receive question priority. Patrons at the black level or above receive access to extra podcast content, including extended versions of every podcast and our monthly patron-only episodes. The first one dropped April 2024. Patrons at the gold level or above receive access to unfiltered YouTube video of our podcast each week. There are other ways to support the podcast, including subscribing to the podcast on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. The more you rate, review, and share, the more people you can reach, so tell your friends. If you give us a 5-star rating, Dustin will read the review you leave, no matter what it says. So let's get some ratings and see what you have to say. Follow us on Twitter at ChasingMacPod or at Tech Hockey Guide. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Arcadia Insurance, providing home, auto, boat, life insurance, and more to nearly all of the Midwest, Fibke Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and Livonia Technical Services. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.